In all you're getting, get wisdom.
Wisdom is the principal thing.
Through wisdom is a house built.
And by understanding, it is established.
Join Apostle Joshua Selman of Eternity Network International as he takes you on a journey into the wisdom of God's Word. Its intimacy, its partnership, its fellowship. This is Koinonia.
Father, we are gathered tonight as your people. No one has the capacity to bring together people to learn but you. And we thank you for giving us the privilege to learn. May your name and your name alone be praised in the name of Jesus. Please walk around to two or three people. Just greet them and then be seated. To appreciate everyone, thank you so much for your commitment, especially for those outside. It truly is a sacrifice, and we honor you as always. Those online following us from any part of the world, we bless you. You're part of us. The Lord will do you good in Jesus' name. Amen. The Holy Spirit, part two. 3 weeks ago, we started a series on the Holy Spirit, and we had 2 weeks off, one with Pastor Jimmy and then the miracle service. So we'll take it off from there. The course curriculum was number one, understanding the person of the Holy Spirit. And then number two, the ministry of the Holy Spirit. And that's what I'll be discussing today. And then number three, the ministry of the Spirit. That will be next week by the grace of God. We started, I apologize for the sound, I'm sure they are working on it. We started by discussing and attempting to understand the person of the Holy Spirit. If you were not around during the first session, please try to get the teachings. They are free after service. But we did, the goal of the last teaching was to validate the fact that the Holy Spirit is God, to validate the fact that the Holy Spirit is not just an influence, it's not just a thing, not oil, not candle, but that He is God. And maybe I should just reiterate to buttress on all that we established. We said that the Holy Spirit possesses the attributes of a person. Now, there are three factors that make anything a person. The concept of personhood or personality. You must possess a will. You must possess emotions. You must possess intellect. So the will, emotion, intellect. Any entity, any object that possesses a will, emotion, intellect has a personality. Are we together now? And so the Bible clearly tells us that the Holy Spirit has a will, meaning He can make decisions, because you use your will to make decisions. The Holy Spirit has emotions, meaning He can feel. He has feelings. The Holy Spirit can be grieved, for instance. And then number three, He has intellect. That means He can think. So the Holy Spirit is a person. You may want to write a few scriptures. We'll do a lot of, hopefully, scripture reading just to help us. The Bible tells us when you read from the book of Acts 16, 6 to 7, you don't have to turn there media. Just validating that the Holy Spirit has a will. And then 1 Corinthians 12, 11. These are two scriptures. Acts 16, verse 6 to 7. 1 Corinthians 12 verse 11 validates that the Holy Spirit has a will. The Holy Spirit has emotions. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 30. Ephesians 4 and verse 30. The Holy Spirit has intellect. Romans chapter 8 and verse 27. Romans chapter 8 and verse 27. And then 1 Corinthians 2 verse 10 to 11. I need us to be on the same a level playing ground tonight, because I know that many of us come from different, I don't mean to be insulting, but different religions, some of us, and even in Christianity, we come from different sects with different perspectives about God. And I understand that there are many people who do not accept the Holy Spirit as a person. They accept him as an influence. They accept him as, in fact, some believe that he's one of the angelic cadres. He's not. I have proven it to us. And then the Bible clearly tells us again that the Holy Spirit is God. Amen. So let's deal with the ministry of the Holy Spirit. I want you to really pay attention, because this tonight's teaching will be examining the need, the advantage, the benefit, and the operation of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Now that we have agreed that he's a person sent from God, we have to examine, why is he such a big deal? Because let me tell you something, there are many believers who think discussing about the Holy Spirit is inaccurate. You know, you hear them say, look, it is Jesus we want to know. He's the one who died for our sins. What is all this idea about the Holy Spirit? It's Jesus we want to know. And, you know, they make it look as though the teaching of the Holy Spirit is some kind of occultic movement. And it is important for us to understand his ministry in our lives. John chapter 16. For our text tonight, let's look at the book of John chapter 16. Jesus is teaching the disciples here, and in the chapter before, he began to introduce them to the personality of the Holy Spirit. And then he went further to let them know the things that he would be doing, his ministry. Let's read from verse 7. John chapter 16 from verse 7. We're reading down to 15, 7 to 15, quite a long reading. Ready? Nevertheless, okay, I tell you the truth. It is what? Expedient. The word expedient is advantageous, to your own advantage. For you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter. Notice all the names that he's used, because his names are also a representation of his operation and his ministry. It's in the character of God to name things according to their usage. Hausa people do a lot of that. They name people based on what they do. So you don't need to ask what the person is doing. They can name him by his occupation or profession. We do that a lot in the north. This is where this whole idea came from. So when he's called the Comforter, that introduces a dimension of his ministry. The Comforter will not come to you, but if I depart, I will send him to you. We're reading down to 15. And when he is come, he will reprove the world of sin, righteousness, and judgment. Verse 9. Of sin, because they believe not on me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father and ye see me no more. Of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. I have yet many things to say unto you, but ye cannot bear them now. Now, that's a very interesting, we can stop there and spend all the night. Please go back to verse 12. It says, ye cannot bear them now. This is very powerful. I'm coming to that point. Ye cannot bear them now does not mean they are too heavy for you. Your organs of interaction with the realm of the spirit, the capacity to understand spiritual things, has not been activated. That means the word ye cannot bear them means it will not be profitable to you if I attempt to explain it to you. Are we together now? Because the natural man cannot receive the things of the spirit, nor can he understand them. They are spiritually discerned. Are we together? How be it? Next verse. When he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into how many truth? He will guide you into the word. Sanctify them by thy truth. Thy word is truth. So he will guide you into all truth. For he shall speak, he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine and shall show it to you. 15. All things that the Father hath are mine, therefore said I that he shall take of mine and shall show it to you. Praise the Lord. The Holy Spirit, inasmuch as it is important for us to know he's a person, we must be able to know that he was sent by God to accomplish specific things in the earth. The Holy Spirit's ministry cuts across creation and humans. He is not limited just to human beings. You have to understand this. The ministry of the Holy Spirit, Miles Monroe, Dr. Miles Monroe, calls him the governor of the earth. How powerful a description. Are we together now? Not the governor of men. The Holy Spirit's ministry. For many of us, even among the charismatics, we have limited the ministry of the Holy Spirit to just men. And so we feel that the Holy Spirit has no relevance in culture. The Holy Spirit has no relevance to plants and animals. The Holy Spirit has no relevance to creation. That's not true. When you read Genesis chapter 1, he was the very force. His first manifestation was not as a helper of man. Are we together now? It was his presence representing the power of God that brought order and dexterity to creation. I want you to know, the Bible says he upholds all things by the word of his power. The Holy Spirit is the mystery that holds creation together. You have to realize this. He's not just one force that was sent to men. And so if you are not a man, you are not relevant. No. We see the Holy Spirit's ministry finding expression even in animals. Donkeys spoke. That's a manifestation of the power of the Holy Spirit. Rods, budded. That's a manifestation of the power of the Holy Spirit. A rod turned to a serpent and back again. Water parted. All of these things, we see his power, the might of the Spirit of God demonstrated all through creation. So I want us to know that the relevance of the Holy Spirit cuts across culture, cuts across animate and inanimate things. The relevance of the Holy Spirit cuts across civilization, whether the 18th, 19th, 20th, 21st century, and whatever it is. The relevance of the Holy Spirit cuts across dispensations. Dispensations. When you realize this, the Holy Spirit does not become, he no longer becomes an issue of Christians. Please listen. The Holy Spirit is not just on earth for Christians. The Holy Spirit is God. He is the Spirit of God. As I'm going to be teaching you, the Holy Spirit has a ministry to creation. He has a ministry in our world today, cosmos, the social system. The Holy Spirit has a ministry to unbelievers. The Holy Spirit has a ministry to believers. Are we together now? So, regardless of what category you find yourself, you need the person and the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Say amen. Because if we do not understand some of these things, we can feel the Holy Spirit is a nuisance and he's only needed by those who want to heal the sick. That's the ideology many people receive. So every time we talk about the Holy Spirit, we leave him to pastors and apostles and prophets and all those who want to be part of ministry as we know. I'm a businessman, I don't need him. I'm a politician, I don't need him. I'm a career person, I don't need him. That's a fallacy. The Holy Spirit is needed for life and godliness. He is the life of God. He is the power of God. Ignoring the Holy Spirit and any aspect of his ministry will cost you your effectiveness. Everyone say, I need him. Jesus, the model of the church, the very Son of the living God, the firstborn among we the begotten, Jesus was helpless on the earth. The Holy Spirit was required to get Mary pregnant. He played the fatherly role of Mary. The Holy Spirit was required. Are we together now? In the growth and the understanding of Jesus as he grew in wisdom stature, the Holy Spirit was responsible for his empowerment. The Holy Spirit was responsible for that invincible and flawless life that Jesus lived. The Holy Spirit was responsible for supplying the grace for his passion. The Holy Spirit was responsible for his resurrection. The Holy Spirit was responsible for his ascension, responsible for the birthing. The Holy Spirit is the mother that birthed the church. We can never ignore his ministry and prosper. Listen to me, please. Whether you are Presbyterian, whether you are an atheist, whether you are a Muslim, Christian, Buddhist, whatever religion, whether you are a Christian, Catholic, Pentecostal, Charismatic, Orthodox, you know, whatever it is, I want you to know that the Holy Spirit, please come. The Holy Spirit was not sent as a choice for Christians. No. The Holy Spirit is God's gift to earth, God's gift to humanity. Regardless whether you are a sinner, he has a ministry in your life. Whether you are born again, he has a ministry in your life. In business, in ministry, as we call it, fivefold, whatever it is, we have ignored his ministry. In fact, many believers do not doubt that there is an existence of such a personality called the Holy Spirit. You will seldom find people argue with you about the existence of such a personality. However, in fact, many have even supposedly received him. It's one thing to receive the Holy Spirit, but it's another thing for his ministry to be activated in your life. That you have received the Holy Spirit and you are even praying in tongues does not necessarily mean his ministry has been activated in your life. Are we together? Help me with this bottle of water. Watch this. Give it to me. I have received this water. Is that true? But this water was designed to accomplish specific things in me. Quench my thirst, help me become healthy. Now, if I keep holding this bottle for a long time, I am not in doubt that there is such a possibility. I know I'm feeling it. I hold this bottle. So if you talk about the bottle, I say, wow, yes, I hold it. I'm a possessor of it, but I'm not a benefactor of the advantage, the possibilities that this bottle could bring. I can die of thirst, yet I am holding a bottle of purified water that can quench my thirst. So don't be caught up with this self-pride and arrogance that I know him. After all, the name of my church is Holy Spirit, maybe Assembly or something, and you convince yourself that because you mention his name and talk about him so much, it means you know him. No. Thank you. The advantage that we're designed to take advantage of his person and his ministry, not his person alone. An awareness of you. If this guy is a what do we call it now? Let's assume that this guy is a very good driver. Being aware that he's a good driver is wonderful, but that does not profit me. If this guy now drives me, then I am enjoying his ministry. Brothers and sisters, thank you very much. Many of us seated here and listening to me, following online, have not maximized the ministry of the Holy Spirit. We have not even allowed him. We have not allowed him. And I'll be showing you shortly. There are specific things the Holy Spirit was sent to achieve in our lives. I won't talk so much about his ministry to creation. My focus, especially in this series, is on men. We have been discussing the issue of men. We really want to understand the dynamics of triumph, and we're examining the ministry of the Holy Spirit. With respect to men, the Holy Spirit has a twofold assignment. Please write. With respect to his ministry to men, he has a twofold assignment. The assignment of the Holy Spirit to men is twofold. Number one, his ministry to unbelievers. That's the starting point of his encounter with men. His ministry to unbelievers. Unbelievers. Those who are yet to encounter Christ. Those who are yet to surrender their hearts to his lordship. He has a ministry to them. And then number two, his ministry to believers or the church, the ecclesia. The Holy Spirit has a ministry to the body of Christ. Not just to believers, to the body. Because believers are part of that body. So he has a ministry to unbelievers. And then he has a ministry to believers, the church, the bride of Christ. Several things the Bible tells us that the Holy Spirit would do in the life of unbelievers. Let's look at them very quickly. John 15, 26 to 27. John 15, 26 to 27. The Bible says, when the Comforter is come, listen, Jesus is teaching here, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth which proceeded from the Father, what will he do? He shall what? Testify like a witness to my reality. Remember, we discussed the last time that the Holy Spirit makes Jesus real. There is no amount of oratory, there is no amount of audiovisual that is capable of making Jesus real to a man. No amount of Jesus film. No amount of visual drawings that can attempt to paint. It can just capture emotionally, but it cannot reveal Jesus. The Holy Spirit is the one who testifies of Jesus. Are we together now? Next verse, 27. And ye also shall bear witness, because ye have been with me from the beginning. Jesus is saying the Holy Spirit will bear witness to unbelievers. And just like him, that will be for next week, you will also end up being like him to men. Witnesses. Are we together? The faithful witness is not a man. He's the Spirit of God. He's called the faithful witness. Unbending. The faithful witness. Testifying of him. When you see people convicted, give us John 6:44. When you see Jesus come alive to people, brothers and sisters, listen, the reason why it is not difficult for us to believe in Jesus is because we were born in a religious environment, and so although we had not surrendered completely to him, we were in an environment that seemed to appreciate his reality. So it was not very difficult to switch. Are we together? But if you were born a Buddhist, an atheist, a non-Christian, or your father was involved in all kinds of extreme witchcraft, you will realize that it takes the power of the Holy Spirit to make Jesus real. Why will you walk up to me and just tell me, I am going to die, I'm going to perish, I should hand over my life to someone called Jesus? What is so special about him? I'm already rich, I'm already healthy, I already live in a mansion, I already live with all kinds of luxurious things. Why do I need Jesus? It's very easy in Africa for people to receive Jesus because our economy has already tilted us to the point where we need a savior. So it's very logical. The moment you propose Jesus and what he can do, it makes a lot of sense to a man who is hungry. But you see, when you go around the world and meet men in their arrogance who have built empires without him, what exactly should make a multi-millionaire? What exactly should make a man who is a professor par excellence? What exactly should make a man listen to you enough to respond to an altar call? It takes the Holy Spirit. It's not just good talk. It's not just evangelism. Look at what he says here. No man can come to me except the Father. And I told you there are two dimensions. There is the Father in heaven, Abba.
the source and sustainer residing in the heavens. Are we together? The first person of the Godhead. Then there is the Father in me, the Holy Spirit. Are we together now? He says, no man can come to me except the Father which hath sent me, draw him, and I will raise him up on the last day. No man, please hear me. If you have ever given your life to Jesus Christ, it never happened just by your willpower alone. The Holy Spirit was there. It's unfortunate right now we organize crusades without him. Emotional crusades, we share tracts, we put Jesus' film. At the end of it, people cry. You see them crying. You think before you make the altar call, they should come and lie down. While you are making the altar call, they are crying and they are still sitting down looking at you. That's to tell you that this thing is the same thing that would happen to them if they watched an Indian film. Are we together? No man can come to me. No man has the power to be so convinced just by the eloquence of men. No. Your words are not articulate enough to cause a man who is 50 years in his mind as an atheist, has written all kinds of scientific propositions disproving the existence of God, and then you claim to speak to him in 20 minutes and have him bend down on his knees. No. It takes more than just intelligence. It takes the power of the Holy Spirit. It never ceases to amaze me, the sermon of Peter. Have you read Acts chapter 2? What a boring sermon. What a disjointed sermon. I've been teaching our school of ministry homiletics for 5 years. I've been teaching them how to preach. And I understand certain things that should be contained in a good message to make sense. Peter's message had only 2 of that 5. You're meeting a lot of people and then telling them some history that doesn't make sense, wasting their time. And then at the end, I thought they would say, what a boring man. You gathered us here to waste our time. The Bible says they were cut to the heart. That's not the excellency of speech. That's the power of God. Are we together? The Holy Spirit convicts and draws the heart of unbelievers to Jesus. When you read John 16 from verse 7, it says that when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, please give it to us. John 16, verse 7. When the Spirit of truth is come, it says he will reprove the world of unbelievers, of 3 things: of sin, righteousness, judgment. Go to verse, verse 8. When he is come, he will reprove the world of sin, righteousness, and judgment. Listen. No man has the power to create conviction in men. Every man that tries to convict men brings condemnation to men. Are we together now? It is not given to man to bring conviction. No, you can only partner with him. It is the Holy Spirit who can convict a man. Brothers and sisters, men are arrogant. The fallen nature designed men that way. When a man kneels down to the Lordship of Christ, especially when he's an accomplished man, then it was the power of the Holy Spirit. Are we together now? When I make altar calls, I am surprised. Sometimes I see the people coming out. You know that it must have taken God to bring these people out. They are even surprised as they are coming out. What am I doing here? The Holy Spirit. How many pastors, how many evangelists do all kinds of theological dissertations and they refuse his ministry? They finish preaching and they call and people come out. While you are praying the prayer, somebody is pinching someone and say, the camera is capturing us, and they are laughing. At the end of it, you say amen, and then you count the number of people, and after 10 years we say we have won 1 million people to Christ. The convicting power. Ben Hinn shared something very powerful about the Holy Spirit that blessed me. Watch this. Without the Holy Spirit, miracles will not change people. The nation of Israel saw more miracles than we will see combined in our generation. Yet, the Bible called them a stiff-necked people. When Jesus walked on earth, John 20 tells us many more miracles did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which were not documented in this book. So there are many more miracles. We only know he walked on water because it was recorded. There were many other miracles Jesus did. But the Bible says when he resurrected, some doubted. How do you doubt a man who is this invincible? He died. Lazarus died. He brought Lazarus back to life. The son of the widow at Nain brought her back to life. The daughter of the centurion brought her back to life. Made 5 loaves and 2 fish to feed 5,000 men, aside women and children. Walked on water. Had a harvest of fish without any kind of assistance. Yet, the people doubted him. When Jesus died, they all ran away. When he resurrected, they did not even believe. Thomas said, no way. I will have to see him and put my hand in his hands and his side. Why? The Holy Spirit was not given to them. The Holy Spirit. It is possible. Don't forget that Jesus sent the 12 and the 70 all together. They went out to go and do evangelism. They themselves said, even the demons. Brothers and sisters, when a demon bows to you, that's like the apex of a demonstration of spiritual power. Yet, they doubted Jesus. They doubted the life of God. You can go to theology school without the Holy Spirit, preach for many years, and one day hang yourself and say, I don't believe this. Have you seen people after several years of preaching who just look at this? I once saw a book, I didn't read it, of a man who was once a Christian, and then I think he refused to be a Christian, and he said it's nonsense. He said there are many inconsistencies in the Bible. And frankly speaking, physically, when you look at what he's saying, he brought a lot of logical things from a historical perspective, from an archaeological perspective, from even a logical perspective, from a prophetic perspective, brought all these things together and just said, Christians are wasting their time. This is complete nonsense. We are being as indoctrinated as whatever. Produce the book. This is somebody who was once in Christ. Are we together? Without the Holy Spirit, you cannot truly experience the reality of Jesus. You will be claiming he's real to you. It is the absence of the ministry of the Holy Spirit that makes people to stand and sing hallelujah, and all of a sudden when things go wrong, they just go to a herbalist and they say, after all, it doesn't matter, every power belongs to God. When you see people talk like that, they are not enjoying the ministry of the Holy Spirit. You join a charm, come to church and receive prophecy, and then add another broomstick that they gave you in one coven, mix everything and say it's just different ways of manifesting the power of God. No sir. Now I'm talking to Africa. Some of us here, our parents, it's amazing, there are pastors who love God, they are not fake, but the ministry of the Holy Spirit is not in them. The moment, especially when people get sick, you see people bringing all kinds of alternatives. They tell you they're in Christ, and you look at what they are doing. They say, no, the guy is not exactly a herbalist, he's just gifted. By who? Everybody's influenced by a spirit. Are we together now? Very, very important. What is his ministry to unbelievers? Conviction and recognition of the need for Jesus. What is his ministry to unbelievers? Conviction and recognition of the need for Jesus. That's his assignment to unbelievers. He has the exclusive ministry of bringing conviction, supernatural conviction. Like some of you now are being convicted supernaturally. It's very supernatural. There's no physical logic to it. This is something that is entirely supernatural. Can bring a man to his knees to embrace Jesus. Saul of Tarsus was on his way to Damascus. A man who was so hardened, you will imagine, when they were killing the martyr Stephen, it was Saul that sat down and they kept their clothes at his feet. Yet he later became the greatest, one of the greatest of the apostles. Listen, how we need the truth about Jesus to spread across our families, to spread across territory. The issue of introducing Jesus to people, listen. I don't like giving it religious names because we have abused religious names. If I say evangelism now, I know what comes to your mind. A tract and people two by two, strolling and knocking someone's door. That's wonderful. That's an aspect of evangelism. But this is, if you see, introducing Jesus to creation is a matter of life and death. It's not an option by a sect to increase their membership. No. Jesus is the answer for the world today. You know that song? Above him there's no other. Jesus is the way. Jesus is the answer for the world today. Above him there's no other. Jesus is the way. How we need everyone around us saved. How we need, do you know, most of the confusion in our society is because men are governed by an ideology that is outside of the Christ. Look at the way heaven is. Total submission to the lordship of the Christ. Look at the dexterity and the order. Our world, our government, our politicians, our business people have no respect and recognition for Jesus. The issue of him, of opening up the hearts of men to receive Jesus, is not an activity for preachers. No. The Holy Spirit has a ministry. The first and primary way that the earth will be full of the knowledge of the glory of Christ is not building of luxurious structures and having multi-millionaires spread across a church. The first thing is the establishment of the lordship of Christ across the hearts of men. Number one. First things first. I don't care how rich a church becomes. I don't care how prosperous. I don't care how educated a people become. If Jesus is not institutionalized in an environment, there is trouble. When Ebola broke out, something that is a temporary thing, governments came together to drive it out because they perceived it to be a threat. Jesuslessness is a threat. Is a threat to humanity. A life truly without Jesus. Please hear me. This is not an initiation into a Christian's religion. There's nothing as terrible as a life that does not acknowledge Jesus. As we are seated here, there are many of our loved ones who are not saved, completely not saved. They laugh at you every time you mention, don't bring any Jesus thing, please. I'm not a small child. We did all those things. So when we were young, you hear them say, now that we are old, we are facing life intelligently. Jesus has been tagged a nuisance to civilization. You mention him and you see the disdain, especially on young people. You mention Jesus, it's as if you mention unemployment. You mention Jesus, it's as if you mention barrenness. Who indoctrinated us? Who pushed away the ministry of the Holy Spirit such that we cannot even partner with him to allow men? Listen, the Holy Spirit is still on earth today carrying out a massive campaign on unbelievers. What is he doing? Convicting them. That's why you find out that right now, find out what is happening across the world, especially the Middle East. Mighty manifestations of Jesus. People having encounters of Jesus. Since we are not going to be serious, since we are more interested in making money, since we are more interested in having building empires and being called apostles and prophets, the Holy Spirit himself engineering conversions in whole families without the assistance of a single individual. He said, if you will not praise me, I will raise up stones. Everybody say conviction. Say it again, conviction. Say recognition. Do you know that Saul was not part of those who walked with Jesus Christ? Yes, he was a Pharisee, but he was not part of those who walked with Jesus Christ. But the moment he encountered Jesus, he called him Lord. See, for those of you who have had visionary encounters, let me tell you something. In fact, any kind of encounter, if it is the Holy Spirit that introduces Jesus to you, you must acknowledge him as Lord. If it's a preacher that introduced Jesus to you without the assistance of the Holy Spirit, you may just see him as an intelligent historian, one of the many, and you will clap for him. Every religion believes in Jesus, but as what? As what? Hallelujah. Say conviction. We need to allow the Holy Spirit step into our homes and change our loved ones, step into our offices and change people, step into governments of nations. The decadence that is eating up society is as a result of this exclusion thing. Holy Spirit, remain in church. His first ministry is not to throw people under the anointing. No, his first ministry to men is to introduce Jesus to them. He makes Jesus real. Although never seen him, we believe him. Why? The Holy Spirit, the faithful witness. The faithful witness. Have you ever seen him to believe him? How can you be this convinced? The Spirit of God, he makes Jesus real. Without the Holy Spirit, an unbeliever can even come out and recite salvation prayer and not be born again. Hallelujah. The saints and the angels bow. The redeemed worship you now. Holy, holy, holy are you, Lord. Holy, holy, holy are you, Lord. Powerful song. Holy, holy, holy are you, Lord. And the angels bow. The redeemed worship you now. Holy, holy, holy are you, Lord. I'd like us to pray 1 minute and say, Holy Spirit, I give you access to every unbeliever in my life. I allow you, step into my home, step into my office. Are we praying, Koinonia? Holy Spirit, my village is in need of your touch. Holy Spirit, my office is in need of your touch. Holy Spirit, my campus is in need of your touch. Holy Spirit, my environment, Nigeria, is in need of your touch. Holy Spirit, Africa is in need of your touch. Holy Spirit, my people are in need of your touch. Bring conviction, bring conviction, bring conviction, bring conviction, bring conviction to my father, bring conviction to my mother, bring conviction to my sisters, bring conviction to my brothers. Are you praying? Lord, I'm tired of talking to them every time and they insult me. I've been doing it without you. But Holy Spirit, visit them yourself. You are the only one who can make Jesus real. The way my father is, no preacher can lead him to Christ. He needs you by himself. The way my unbelieving brother is, they need you. Lift your voice and pray. We're talking about the Holy Spirit here. Hallelujah. Listen. intercession for souls. When you are praying for souls, don't just pray blindly, oh God, save them. No. Cry for an encounter with them and the Spirit of God. It's a collision one person must give up. If it's the Holy Spirit, no. You can't hit the Holy Spirit and it goes back. It's a joke. If the Holy Spirit comes, it will swallow up every stubbornness. It was here some years ago while I was teaching on the reality of heaven and hell. One person who, I think he was an ustaz or something like that, had read Arabic, was sitting in the overflow outside. I don't know how, I'm sure just for curiosity, just came to sit down and listen. And while I was speaking, all of a sudden, he said the moment I was speaking, it's as if outside just became blood and everywhere just vanished. And there he was, standing alone with Jesus, the Son of the Living God, while Koinonia was going on. That guy broke down, gave his life to Christ, God filled with the Holy Spirit. Now that's the Holy Spirit at work. Please listen. Many of us are suffering today because the heads of our home have thrown him out. So he can't come in. He can come into your life, but not your home, because the doorway, the priest of the house, has willingly kicked him out. Many of our fathers don't recognize him. Many of our mothers don't recognize him. You talk about him, please don't bring all those church garbages. You need to pray and say, Holy Spirit, you are the testifier of Jesus. You are the testifier of Jesus. I'll never forget one of the most awesome testimonies that we've had in this ministry. One of our ladies, long before she left, it was a non-Christian family, everyone. Then she was the first to get born again and kept growing and building, and then gradually I think it was her mom who later got born again supernaturally. A non-Christian family, not just a few people. And then gradually I think her younger brother or thereabout got born again. Everyone got born again, and it was the dad that was left. He was angry, already persecuting them, criticizing them, you know what I'm talking about, withdrawal of benefits, etc., etc. And then one time, I would never forget, one night we're preparing to go for prayers, and this lady comes to me crying and saying, the Lord has done it, God is faithful. What happened? I don't know what made the father to meander into living faith. Fire fell on his head that day. Do you know the Holy Spirit has a way of navigating a man who has no business going for a crusade? He will just be passing and say, what, who is this guy shouting, and stand there, and that's it. That's the end of it. Do you believe what I'm sharing with you? His ministry to unbelievers. If you know this, never get rid of anyone the Holy Spirit has not given up on. Are you hearing? Some of us have our brothers, our sisters, our loved ones. They smoke around, they snuff everything, as stubborn as whatever. You give them a Bible, they sell it and use the money to drink. All kinds of things. When the Holy Spirit meets them, one day you will just see that gentleman who used to dress like a thief holding his Bible and saying, are we not going for Koinonia? And you say, no. Oh, it will happen. Oh, it will happen in the name of Jesus. Why are you surprised? Have you forgotten how you used to be? Have you forgotten so soon that the Holy Spirit can convict men? Number two, quickly, his ministry to believers, and I want to dwell here a little, and then the Holy Spirit has a very extensive ministry to believers who are believers, recipients of the life and the power of God, recipients of the grace and the mercy of God, those who have been redeemed, partakers of his divine nature. Now write this down, please. Give us 2 Corinthians 13 verse 14 and then Philippians chapter 2 verse 1. 2 Corinthians 13 14, a popular scripture in the body of Christ. The ministry of the Holy Spirit in a believer is primarily carried out through communion, fellowship. Please understand this. the ministry of the Holy Spirit in the life of a believer, the principal channel for the Holy Spirit manifesting his ministry. And trust me, I know what I'm talking about. The Holy Spirit's, the chiefest way that he manifests his ministry in a believer is through communion. Please give us Amplified if we can find it. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and then he says, and the presence and fellowship, the communion, the sharing together, the participation in, and then King James says, of the Holy Spirit be with you. Amen. So there is a fellowship, say fellowship. There is a communion, say communion. Without the communion of the Holy Spirit cannot find his ministry, cannot find expression through a believer. What is communion? Fellowship. What is communion? Oneness. Are we together? Now, let me teach you something. Listen. I know you're writing. Can I use you again? Thank you. There is the dimension of the ministry of the Holy Spirit in you. There is the dimension of the ministry of the Holy Spirit with you. Allos Parakletos, one who is called to walk an extension of the ministry of Jesus. Are we together now? Both are very important, but communion is the key. Communion, intimacy, koinonia, the word. Are we together? That participation, fellowship, a recognition of himself in your life, and then that allowance, creating the atmosphere, your assignment in terms of your partnership with the Holy Spirit, as far as communion is concerned, is to create the atmosphere. Create the atmosphere. Create the atmosphere for communion to be possible. Create the atmosphere for fellowship. Communion does not happen anywhere and anyhow. There is an atmosphere. There is a state of being. There is a state of surrender that can cause communion to be a possibility in the life of a person. Thank you. Hallelujah. Many of us fail to create that atmosphere. Every other thing that I'm going to be listing here is communion dependent, is fellowship dependent. If you do not have what the Bible calls the fellowship of the Spirit, it is impossible to access these other dimensions of his ministry. Fellowship. Philippians chapter 2 verse 1. Philippians chapter 2 verse 1. It says, if there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, then it says, if any fellowship. There is such a thing as the fellowship of the Spirit. Fellowship of the Spirit. Fellowship of the Spirit. That introduces you to a lot of other things. When I sat down, I watched Ejimi and his dear daughter. He was busy talking with her. That's fellowship, communion, koinonia. And then after a while of conversation, she left with his phone. I think he put a game for her and she was happily going. And I said, that's the fringe benefit of communion. It started with her coming to him. They were discussing, I did not know. And then as a result, she had access. Many of us want to access the riches of Christ, the blessings of Christ, but we ignore the place of communion, the platform upon which the ministry of the Holy Spirit is manifested in the life of a believer. It's not prayer, it's not fasting, it's communion. Prayer is a subset of fellowship. Are we together now? Fellowship. So what is the first ministry of the Holy Spirit in the life of a believer? Let's hurry up. Number one, write it down please. The first assignment of the Holy Spirit in the life of a believer is activation of his spiritual senses. Activation of his spiritual senses. A believer is one who has already received the life of God. When the Holy Spirit comes into the life of a believer, his first assignment is activation of your spiritual senses. The Bible calls it being alive to Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 verse 14, please. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 verse 14. Very popular scripture. The Bible says, read please, everyone, it's projected. One, two, read. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. Why? For they are what? Foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. Let me explain to you what that means. The natural man, not just the carnal man, the natural man, one who is alienated from anything Christ, among other things, responds to his environment only based on his sensory perception. Are we together? So his decisions are made from the impulses around him. The limit of his interaction is just a three-dimensional realm. The natural man. The Bible says for such a person, his organs of interaction with spiritual realities are deadened. He cannot understand spiritual things because they are not scientific. Spiritual things are not scientific. Spiritual things are not philosophical. They are spiritual. So your organs of interaction with the realm of the spirit must be heightened and activated for it to make sense. It does not make sense to drop a prayer request on the ground and dance around it. A natural man will tell you that's stupidity. It does not make sense to write your problems on a prayer request and come and drop it at the altar, have a man lay hands and get up smiling. It does not make sense to believe something you have not seen and start taking action in advance. No. The natural man cannot do that. In the world, they say seeing is believing. If I can't see it, I shouldn't believe it. How in the world do you want somebody whose organs of interaction with the realm of the spirit has not been heightened to believe that someone can stand with a growth, a lump, a malignant growth, cancerous growth, and just with a word, it disappears? See, let me tell you something. Most people's doubting of God is because the Holy Spirit has not activated their organs of interaction. Remember when you used to laugh at praying in tongues? Remember? That's what was happening to you. You see believers praying and sweating and you say, "Ay, who lied to these people?" See, you now, you are in the same thing. Happily, a forerunner of it. How about the Bible? How about confession? To believe that you can communicate things, thank you, that you can communicate things and then they will come to pass because you opened your mouth and spoke. You just sit down in your house and expect a destiny helper to help you. Who dash monkey banana? Where will that come from? You mean somebody just sits down and comes to bless you? All of these things that we teach, brothers and sisters, are spiritually discerned. Say after me, spiritually discerned. Why will you ever believe that a man went to the cross for you? What if it's a lie? Was your name on the cross? You were not there. You were told he went to the cross for you. How are you sure it was for you? What if he went because he did something wrong and they just created a story to cover up? Let me tell you how you know the organs, your spiritual senses have been activated. The things of the spirit no longer become an embarrassment to you. You are not ashamed of it. Some of us still do big manism for spiritual things. Shout, lift your hands, and don't fall our hands. That's someone whose spiritual senses are deadened. Does not understand. You are sick to take the communion. What is communion? I beg. I saw you baking this cake. I saw you. You even put small wine inside, and you are now all of a sudden telling me it's anointed and it can cure. Please, I'm sorry to say this, but even some of us pastors, we stand on stage and we bastardize spiritual things. We tell people, look, you have common sense. I mean, what is how can you walk around your house in the night prophesying? Get a police. And we laugh over it and make it look as if spiritual things are nonsense. If you are not a spiritual man, you can't believe that somebody can come with a result that is not working, and you lay hands on it, and he goes back and check, and all of a sudden he finds out it has changed. His own cynical people are those who their organs of interaction with the realm of the spirit. You saw our mother giving a testimony. There are some of you here, if journalists will come now, you say, "Mama, open that leg, let's see." I don't believe it. Seeing is believing. Because many of us believe that an elderly woman at her age like this would come to stand to lie to you. Cynical about everything. I'm showing you the need for the Holy Spirit in your life. This is why you cannot experience speed when they see a young man all of a sudden come. You see this gentleman, he grew up in the village just like you, and in 1 year God has changed his life and changed his level. When people see him, they say, "Look, all these young people, it took me 20 years to buy my first car because you are a natural man." But this guy has tapped into a supply. He knows there is a system in the kingdom. Are we together now? And you look at him and say, "No job. You graduated with third class. What are you doing? Whose head did you cut that you are now buying a car? You are even saying you buy a car for your mother. How did that happen?" The natural man cannot receive the things of the spirit. How can tithing open the heavens for you? This thing is just a gimmick. Oh, men of God use this thing, they eat people's money, and you hear. The next time, you can know whether people are alive in the spirit by their conversations. Their conversations are a window to their spirit man. So never argue. When you want to argue with people, find out what level they are first, so you don't make a fool of yourself. There are people, when they talk, the key is just to say, "All right, God bless you, it's all right." You know, I'm telling you all these things. You are sitting down saying you are hearing God to marry well. This one now, you are seeing, we're all seeing. This is how your elder sister did. Now she's 40 years. You don't know what the elder sister believed, but you know the principles of the word. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Is God blessing you? Yes. Spiritual man. God gives you an instruction. You finish building a house and you carry the house and go and give the house of God and say they should turn it into a missionary house. Is that normal? No, you have to be spiritual. Are there spiritual people in this place? So why do you argue about miracles? Why do you argue about signs and wonders? Why do you argue about dreams? I call this guy now, I give him a word of knowledge, and somebody's watching me. I'm watching if somebody is telling me something. Is it very easy to act like that? Say, "I'm a believer." Say, "I am spiritual. I am alive to God." Say it, "I am alive to God." Yes. The natural man. I'm showing you the number one assignment of the Holy Spirit, to take us out of that natural state and that carnal state to become spiritually alive. All of a sudden, you now know that prayer has power. All of a sudden, you now know that the word of God can direct the course of a man's life. All of a sudden, you now agree that if I honor my parents, my day will be long. All of a sudden, you now know that it is possible for someone to insult you, yet in spite of the insult, you can still say, "God bless you." Natural people will fight and tear themselves, but a spiritual man, hallelujah, it's a spiritual man that will see his car burning to ashes, and while the car is burning, he will go and lock the door and just be dancing. And they say, "Oh God, I think you can't you at least quench it and sell the tire?" And he said, "It doesn't make any difference. It's just my car is limited, but I'm connected to a supply that is infinite. I'm not irresponsible. I'm only showing the extent of the abundance of the kingdom I represent." Spiritual man. Let me tell you how to know you are a spiritual man. Jesus gave us a test. Your environment will fight you because they are not used to behaving like that. Where will the money come from? I'm tithing, I'm giving. God will give me an idea. Are you aware that we are in May and you are saying by December the house will be built? Please don't be stupid. Spiritual people. If you are here and you find yourself cynical towards spiritual things, you are always doubting, can God do this? It's a sign that you need to cry for your spiritual senses to be activated. I remember some years ago, someone told me that he doesn't really believe in miracles, that he believes that every healing miracle is fake because they have not been able to bring any concrete documentation. I told him, I said, there's no point arguing. And I've had the same thing with several preachers around. I told him, the day the doctors look at you and say, sir, you have 3 days to live, that day you will believe a miracle for sure. You know, this one way God helps us to believe him. He just steps back and allows us to struggle with what we think can be him in our lives. When you see how incapacitated you are outside of the spirit, it will make you to embrace him. Thank you. Activation of your spiritual senses. Number two, the second ministry of the Holy Spirit to a believer, this is very important, is revelation and understanding of scripture. The second ministry, listen, scripture does not help you know the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit helps you understand scripture. Are we together? I am a word addict, but I'm going to be correcting many things shortly. And I pray that you have the grace and the fortitude to receive it. Because the way many people are taking their path, their journey to spiritual progress, they are not going to make progress that way. Revelation and the understanding of scripture. The Holy Spirit himself is called the Spirit of revelation, the Spirit of understanding. When you read Isaiah 11, right, he's called that. In fact, Paul prayed in Ephesians chapter 1 from verse 17, for this cause I, Paul, bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, that he may grant unto you the Spirit. Give it to us, please. Ephesians chapter 1 from verse 17. Let's see the prayer of Paul. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, will give unto you the spirit of what? Wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. It's a spirit. It's not just a desire. There is a dimension of the Holy Spirit that helps men to both have revelation and understanding of scripture. Let me tell you something. If the Holy Spirit, look up please. Lord Jesus, help me. How do I say this now? It is the Holy Spirit that inspired the writing of this. Remember, the last session we discussed that the Holy Spirit is the author of the Bible. The Bible did not bring the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit authored the Bible. All scripture, right, was inspired of the Holy Ghost. Holy men wrote as they were moved, led by the Spirit. I hope you know that the apostles never had the privilege to hold this document. I hope you know the early church did not go to church with something in their hand called Bibles. Do you know that? When they went around, they did not hold a little book with 66 books. It was their testimony, the testimony of the ministry of the Holy Spirit in their lives, that have been documented to help a generation understand the character of God. The purpose of scripture is very clear. He said, ye err not knowing the scripture. These scriptures testify of me. They don't give you power in themselves. The scriptures are a pointer. The end of scripture is an encounter with a person. A person. The spirit of revelation. Jesus himself told us that when the Holy Spirit came, he would grant us access to the understanding of scripture. Say understanding of scripture. There are several people. Let me tell you something. Look up, please. It is dangerous to study this book or any Christian material without the Holy Spirit, because you are going to gain an understanding from it, but it may not be the understanding that God intends. And the terrible thing, this is why for many of you who have studied the Bible and studied, you know, church history, you will know that the translation of the Bible was done well, but it came with many mistakes. Because many of those who translated the Bible did so, sadly, from Hebrew, Latin, Greek, Aramaic into English. They did not really consult the ministry of the Holy Spirit seriously. Many of them just consulted archaeological and theological materials. And there are some of the modern translations of the Bible we have now are very disturbing. Very disturbing. They are a communication of carnality. Men attempting to interpret spiritual things in the flesh. And so you have all kinds of Bibles. They remove several things in the Bible that they feel are an interruption to civilization. They carefully extract certain verses from the Bible. They add certain things that were not there. Revelation of Scripture. Revelation of Scripture. Revelation of Scripture. I'll come back to that, but it's sufficient for you to know that if you ever want revelation, the key is to embrace the ministry of the Holy Spirit. When you study Scripture with His ministry activated in your life, then you will have understanding, then you will have revelation. Number three, the third ministry of the Holy Spirit to the believer. This is important. Let me spend a few minutes here. Guidance and direction. This is one of His major ministries to the believer. Guidance and direction. John 16 verse 13. John 16 verse 13. Please give it to us. And then Isaiah 30, 21. John 16 verse 13. Guidance and direction. Everyone say guidance. Say it again. Guidance and direction. How be it? When He, not when it, when He, the Spirit of truth, is come, what will He do? He will guide you into how many truth? All truth. I know many of us don't believe this. Let me tell you what it means to guide. Can I use anybody? I've been using you, okay? To direct is to say, move. When you get there, turn left. That's direction. So you go on your own. All I give you for direction is an information, and then you go. But this is what guidance is. Hold my hands. Let's walk together. Oh, be careful. Jump this. Be careful. Move this way. This is guidance. The Bible says the Spirit of truth can guide a young man who is confused. No father, no mother. Where do I go, oh Lord? And the Spirit of God says, hold my hands and watch what I will do. I will guide you. I will guide you. Okay, you will be in Zaria for 2 years. Guidance. After that, you plan to go to London. No, it's not London. It's Akwa Ibom for 1 year. Oh God, what am I doing there? Just follow me. Guidance. Many people, pastors, leaders, have ignored the guidance ministry of the Holy Spirit. Attempting to get direction directly from the Bible without Him is hypocrisy and religion. Do you know why? Look at me. There is nowhere in the Bible here that is written, Apostle Joshua Selman, by 2017, you should be in Zaria. It's not written here. The principles of the kingdom, I will come there, are written. But there are times your life requires hands-on, customized, specific information. This is where He comes in. You see that? The Spirit of truth. He shall guide you into how many? All truth. What is all truth? Does it include ministry? Does it include your finances? Please help me. Does it include your establishment? Why did you leave Him in church? And you are around trying to look for jobs all by yourself, and you never intrude. You go to submit proposals alone, and then we don't pay attention to His ministry. I think what is in vogue now is once you are in Lagos or Abuja, about your life will be better, and you transport yourself and transport your ignorance to Lagos, and you are on your own. And a city that should bless you punishes you because it's not there with you. Someone else can be in Zamfara, led by Him. What are you doing in Zamfara? He asked me to come there. And he's living like a hero in Zamfara. Please hear me. When it comes to guidance, you must submit to the leadership of the Holy Spirit. Let me show you something. Isaiah 30:21. Read it if you're a Christian. One, two, read. And thy ears shall hear a word behind thee, saying, this is the way, walk ye in it. When you turn to the, this is the way, walk ye in it. If you go about it this way, it won't work. This is it. I just want to go and do business. Go and get a master's. Lord, what do I need it for? Just do it. I am directing you. He leads me and guides me to the city up above. He leads me and guides me to my place of destiny. He leads me and guides me to the city up above. He leads me and guides me to my place of destiny. Prophesy. He leads me and guides me to the city up above. He leads me and guides me to my place of destiny. He leads me and guides me to the city up above. Voice of God, because he was lying down close to the ark. You don't hear his voice if he's far from you. He's a gentle spirit. The secret to hearing his voice is to walk with him. Don't keep him far there and say, Lord, where are you? No.
So close, I believe you're holding me now. So close, I believe you're holding me now. In your arms I belong. You never let me go.
Many fathers did not seek the consent of God. They just got pension, 2 million. Just travel to the village. You travel to the village, the second day your legs stop working. The third day you started walking, halfway the building, the money disappeared. Did he lead you? You must learn to take responsibility. Allow his voice guide you. See, let me tell you something. God is not always speaking. I know we say God always speaks. I don't have a right to question anyone saying that, but I've read my Bible and I've walked with the Holy Spirit. God does not always speak. He speaks. Read your Bible. In the fifth day of the tenth month, the word of the Lord came. The word of the Lord came like a messenger. God sends his word. Before he sends it, is with him. When he sends it, it comes. Your job is to wait, no matter how long. Waiting is cheaper than paying a price unnecessary. God is speaking to someone here, because your head can move you as the voice of God. Waiting. The hardest things for believers. Lord, you said this year you will prosper me. What is this? You've not even given me an idea, a business idea. And God says, just be praying, just be waiting. Oh God, by now my colleagues have started ministry and all of them even have 500 members. I look at all of them and it's as if you didn't call me. I got them born again. And God says, just wait. If you don't hear his voice, die there waiting for him. Are you hearing what I'm saying? I'm giving someone a powerful, powerful revelation. Man of God, if he does not speak, don't start the Stevie ministry. Don't say because you have money. Not every door that is opened by God.
You shall hear a voice. Satan can open doors. Your force can open doors. When you force a door, it will open.
There are too many inconsistencies in the life of believers, and the reason is because of that stillness. Stillness. The Holy Spirit does not speak to men under an atmosphere of noise. 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 Lord, there are 12 men around my life. Tell me quickly which one. Truly, you will hear anything. The Holy Spirit is a master of solitude. Silence. Silence. Oh God, 5 jobs. Speak quickly before I choose my own. You will hear that kind of thing. No. Waiting is a sign of faith. Waiting is proof you believe He will come. He will come and save you. He will come and save you. Say to the weary heart, your God will surely come. Who am I singing to? Save you. My God will come and save you. He will come and save you. Say to the weary heart, your God will surely come. He will come and save you. He will come and save you. He will come and save you. Here's your part now. Lift up your eyes to Him, for you will arise again. He will come and save you. Listen. Lift up your eyes to Him, you will arise again. He will come and save. Apostle, I was never taught that God can direct people. Look at how 10 years of my life has become a mess. I married wrongly. I did all kinds of things. I entered into every wrong known business. I did every kind of thing. Wrong friends. Look at my life. Lift up your eyes to Him, for you will arise again, and He must come to save. No regrets. Is there hope for a tree? Yes, there is. Even though it be cut up, if you can lift up your eyes. I just feel in my spirit God is speaking to someone here. You are saying, can this thing ever work? My God, an expert in changing the lives of men. Have you not heard of Abraham? I lift up my eyes to you, so I will rise again. You will come and save. Can my church get back again? Yes. You joined all kinds of friends in the name of ministry, preaching all around, and before you knew it, that grace left. But like Samson, you will arise again. Okay. You will arise again, for He will come and save you. I speak to your weary heart, your God will surely come. How long? His time. How long, Apostle? We've been building for 10 years. Our neighbors are finished. Leave your neighbors. He's preparing a table for you. Lift up your eyes to Him, and you will arise again. He will come and save you. Psalm 23. Please, let's hurry up. Our time is gone. Goodness, God is blessing and healing people here. Psalm 23. God is encouraging someone. Stop crying. You can't cry forever. There is hope. There is hope. You can start afresh again. I don't care what happened. The Lord, by His Spirit, is my shepherd. The sheep does not have horns. The sheep cannot fight. Its security is entirely based on His trust for the leadership of the shepherd. 2. He maketh me. Everybody say, He makes me. when he becomes my shepherd, when I make up my mind, I'm not a small child, yes, but I will follow him. Sometimes we get too matured for his voice. Oh God, you know, I'm not a child again. Don't play all these games. He makes me to lie down where? For him to make me lie down means he knows where it is. He searches for it and says, son, this is green. Your eyes is seeing black, but God says, just lie down. This is green pastures. Lord, but based on what I was taught when I was in the university, this is black. And God says, me, lie down. When you lie down, all of a sudden it turns to green. And people say, how did you get it? Every wise man knows the power of the leadership of the Spirit. You can't fake his leadership. Your life will be too ugly to pretend he's the one leading you. A sign that he's not leading you is perpetual absence of beauty and glory in every area of your life. He leads me beside the still waters. Verse 3. Quickly help us, media. He restores my soul. All these are things that happen when he's shepherd. He can be your Lord. You will not benefit from this. You can make him your shepherd. That if you are leading me, Lord, I will follow. I will follow. You need to see how I talk with the Lord. And I tell him, Lord, I'm not going from here. Brothers and sisters, I can tell you how many people have given nice proposals, wonderful things for the ministry to do. But I know, you ask everyone who is close to me, if God does not speak, I'm not going anywhere. If after 30 years God does not speak, this is where we remain as a ministry. Are we together? I'm not under pressure to show ministry is growing. Everything that has happened here is a product of his wisdom. The messages that have blessed people around the world, it was a simple direction from God. Do not upload your videos. Do not sell your audios, not at this season. Put them free online. I will cause it to move like an angel to the nations of the earth. Look what God has done today. You see, when he speaks to you, foolish things can bring powerful results because his voice is upon it. He leads me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. For, yea, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, how you got there is not important. The most important thing is that you are there. The valley of the shadow of death, what happens? I will fear no evil. Why? Is it because I already know what will happen? No, you are with me. Although I'm in the valley, if your voice is still with me, then I'm safe. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. 5. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Because I am close to you, I enjoy the fringe benefit of being anointed with oil, and then my cup runs over. Guidance. Believers, please hear me. Let's return back to the place where the voice of God becomes the timing of our lives. Don't allow this scientific living fool you. Young man, you are 30 years. By now, you should have 3 cars. You should have 3 cars. You should be married. You should have, what are some of these things again? You should be in, you have a master's in etc., etc. The voice of God will make you look like a fool for a moment. But the beauty and glory that will rise from his voice will shock people. And they will say, how did you do it? I remember when we started out in ministry, many people thought we were fools. Many people thought we were idiots. But look at his wisdom. Look at his grace. Look at the mighty things that he has done. You are here today as a product of his voice. Who will be in your life because you heard well? Pray 1 minute. Lord, correct my hearing. I am determined to hear you. I am determined to hear you. Lift your voice and say, Lord, I no longer argue with your voice. If you don't speak, I'm going nowhere. There is a way that seemeth right, inside and outside. Make sure you are talking to the Lord. There is a way that seemeth right for a young man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. There is a way to make money that seems right. There is a way to marry that seems right. There is a way to get connection that seems right. There is a way to do ministry that seems right. But the end thereof will leave you with pains and regrets. But when he leads you, his voice comes with speed. His voice comes with direction. His voice comes with direction. Guidance. Yes. Very simple song. Yes. That's my response to your leading. Yes. I'll forever say yes. My heart says yes, yes. Number four, the fourth ministry of the Holy Spirit in the life of a believer. Are you learning something tonight? The fourth ministry of the Holy Spirit in the life of a believer is renewal and transformation. Write this. I want to teach you something powerful and then we pray. Renewal and transformation. Renewal and transformation. Transformation. 2 Corinthians chapter 3 verse 18. But we all, 2 Corinthians 3 verse 18. But we all, not we some, as many who are interested, is the destiny of everyone. But we all, with open, unveiled face, beholding as in a glass the glory of God. The glory of God is the Holy Spirit. He's called the glory of the Father. He says we are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of God. The Holy Spirit is responsible for the transformation of men. What is transformation? A change of state that is caused about by a change of beliefs, a change of values, a change of paradigms. Listen carefully. One of the major ministries of the Holy Ghost in the life of a man is to cause renewal. Renewal of your mind. Romans chapter 12 from verse 1. I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto Lord, which is your reasonable act of worship. Verse 2, it says, and do not be conformed. The word conformed is the word patterned. Do not be patterned after aeon. The word world there is the Greek word aeon. The thinking pattern that comes with the age. Do not allow yourself. There is a pathway young people are taking that will land them in failure. There is a way people are taking that will cause them to be mediocres. In business, in ministry, whatever it is. It says, but be ye what? Transformed. How? Through renewal. Transformation. The process that makes you become like Christ experientially is called transformation. Transformation. The Bible challenges us to have the mind of Christ. Challenges us to cultivate the mindset. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 5. It says, let this mind be in you. The word let is permit, allow, authorize. This mindset, this thinking, this ideology. This is the reason why the ministry of the word is important. Now let me tell you something about the word of God. While I was preparing, the Holy Spirit kept drumming in my spirit to correct this. I want to correct something now. The confusion that has come and has been in the body of Christ for a long time as to where the ministry of what we call the word and the ministry of the spirit, because it's a thing of confusion for a lot of people. Now that I'm talking about the Holy Spirit in transformation, many people are saying, I think it's just the word of God. There is a system, and this is what I want to teach you. Listen, there is the word of God as a person. Understand this. Are we together? John 1 verse 1. In the beginning was the word. There is the word of God as a person. Say the word of God as a person. We know him. Our dispensation knows him as Jesus. Are we together? We call him Jesus. The Bible calls him the word of God. Revelations 19:13. The man upon the white horse riding had a name. His name is the word of God. Give it to us, please. Revelations 19, yeah, I believe verse 13. It should be. Revelations 19:13. Let's look at it. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood. What was his name? Is the word of God. His name has always been the word of God. So there is the word as a person. His name is Jesus. We know him as Jesus. Jesus is the name that was given to him when he wore a human body. Angels don't call him Jesus. In heaven, they don't call him Jesus. That's a discussion for another time. The only time the angel mentioned Jesus was simply telling Mary his name. He shall be called this. They don't call him Jesus. Read your Bible. In heaven, they don't call him Jesus. Every time they call him Jesus is because they are relating with man, so that we are not confused as to whether there are many of them. He is the word of God, a person. But there is the word of God as a testament, as scripture, as the Bible, the testifier of the person. This is it. Look up. There is the word of God as a person, but there is the word of God as scripture, a testament. Jesus said that scriptures testify of him. What we call the word of God as scripture is a compendium of the dealings of God with man, to the end that we may understand the system of God's kingdom and see here by the help of the Holy Spirit the character of God in dealing with men, to understand his system, his person, his agenda. The word of God as a person, the word of God as a testament, a written document that speaks about the life, the power, the realities of heaven. Now listen to me. You are transformed by scripture, but only when the breath of the Holy Spirit is upon it. When the Holy Spirit does not breathe upon this, this did not fall from heaven. This was published by Zondervan or published by any of these people. They may not even be born again. They just published a book. I hope you know that 66 books are the ones that are given to us, but there are many extra biblical materials that are still the historical documentation of the apostles. Are we together now? So there is the word of God as a person, the Christ himself. There is the word of God as a testament, what we call scripture. Listen carefully. Scripture in itself cannot do you anything. Now this is the problem. We embrace scripture. Yes, we call it the word of God. Yes, it is a testament testifying of Christ, but it should lead you. Scripture is only useful when the Holy Spirit is participating in the process of opening it up. If you open scripture just by yourself, you will be like the scribes, the Pharisees, the Sadducees. So the unity of scripture and the spirit is what produces the living logos, the rhema of God. It's not just to think that, okay, because this is the Bible, many people sit down and then they can look at this. This is only as hallowed as the ministry of the Holy Spirit makes it in your life. Otherwise, this is just an ordinary book. An ordinary book that archives the teachings of this man we call Jesus. The Bible in itself cannot do you any good. It is the ministry of the Holy Spirit breathing upon the word, giving life to it. So everything you see in the Bible, he empowers you to believe it, act upon it, and delivers the result. He is the power behind scripture. The Holy Spirit is the power behind scripture. You have to believe this. There is the word of God as an information, as a testament that reveals the life and the principles of the kingdom. Listen, I've said it, but let me say it again. These words in themselves only educate you. They can't transform you. That's why a lot of people do devotional without the Holy Spirit. And at the end of it, they finish and they close the devotional. Many people do Bible studies, even in church. There are many churches that do Bible study for decades, but there's no transformation in the lives of the people. You know why? Because we're only doing an exegesis on a spiritual document. In fact, even what we call confession, I wrote something down here. I said confession of scripture without the presence and power of the Holy Spirit is mere psychology. Confession of scripture without the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit is mere psychology. It's the same thing that happens when you go to a yoga class and they are helping you to be able to train your mind to have some kind of transcendental experiences. What gives life to your confession is that the Holy Spirit is back of it. Otherwise, you are just speaking nonsense. We mock ourselves and just speak this and that. We jack ourselves and we ignore the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Words generally are powerful, but they do not bring your desired effect until they are directed by the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit. Confession of scripture without the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit is mere psychology. In Genesis chapter 1 verse 3, we see that the Lord spoke the word, but the Holy Spirit was there before the word was spoken, not after, not during. The Holy Spirit was there hovering around. Don't invite him after you have spoken everything you want to do and then you say, Holy Spirit, if there's any space for you. No. Transformation. Part of the ministry of transformation is to produce in you the character of the Spirit. Galatians chapter 5. You read from verse 16 down to 22. But for time's sake, let's go to verse 22. Galatians 5, 22. Look at what the Bible says. But the fruit of the Spirit. In other words, the recreated human spirit that is in alignment with the Holy Spirit should produce these effects. Love, joy. You cannot love except by the Spirit. You can be emotionally attached to a person or a thing. That's a natural thing. Even animals do it. But you need the Holy Spirit to love. Agape. Undeserved love. How about joy? The Bible calls it joy in the Holy Ghost. Joy unspeakable and full of glory. It says rejoice in the Lord always. It's impossible to do this. It says again I say rejoice. A life of joy is a product of his presence. When you are ever joyful, it's a sign that the transforming power of the Spirit is at work in you. Brothers and sisters, let me tell you, when you see people joyful, it's not because everything is working. It's just because the Spirit of God, they have learned to walk with the Holy Spirit. There are people here seated right now as I talk to you. They've had bereavements. They've not even buried the people, but you see them happy. They will be the first to hug you and shake you after service. Excessive sadness, dullness is a sign that you are walking in the flesh. So when they send you pocket money, when you come for koinonia, everybody knows that it's the end of the month, you got something. Or if your salary lands, help me Nigerians, as soon as your salary lands, everybody knows. You dance in church and you do everything. When you stand with your tithe, you wave it, everybody should see. But the moment they don't pay, you see everybody say, please clap. Say, is he not enjoying? You should come and face what I'm going through. No. Everybody say, I will be ever joyful. Yes. It's a product of the Spirit. Be so joyful, that men will be surprised when you tell them what you are going through, because they'll say, I never knew. Pastor, you mean you've been going through this? This is what you've been going through for the last 3 years? Yes. Joy unspeakable, full of glory. Don't pull your mouth and frown until you get up in the morning. Good morning, sir. No joy. Somebody was supposed to give you a job. You even gave testimony in advance and implicated yourself, and then the job didn't come. Hi, oh God, is this how you disgrace me? So now I'm going to come for koinonia. How will they? Joy. I am ever joyful. I'm a very, very joyful person. It doesn't mean that people do all kinds of nonsense and foolish things around my life all the time, but I'm ever joyful. When I see people who are happy and joyful, they look beautiful. They look wonderful, regardless of what they are going through. Joyfulness is not irresponsibility. It's a sign of faith that you know things will change. Why we look not at the things that are seen, but the things that are unseen. That's why when I saw that our mother singing a song and joyful, oh dear, what a wonderful mother. Some of you just come here and say, look, I'm sad. We thank God for the miracle. What then is the testimony? He gave me 2 injections and the needle almost broke, but God gave me a miracle. And we don't even know you are finished. You just say, you are finished, that's it. What then is a miracle? Laughter doeth good like medicine. Turn to your neighbor and tell him or her, laughter doeth good. Look at me. Prophesy to your neighbor and say, please, don't carry a load on your head God is not giving you. Some of us, you are 20 years. You are looking as if you are 90. What's the problem? I'm the one sponsoring myself now. What I say? Which of you by worrying can add? Are you aware that I have 3 children? We didn't plan for the 3rd one. It just came. So what? School fees is now 50,000. I don't know what is happening in Nigeria. Who is getting the high blood pressure? No. Don't put tension around your life. Say, myself, relax. God is in control. Say it, myself, relax. God is in control. Let me tell you what the devil will tell you. He said, don't mind this nonsense. Apostle asked what he will eat after this program. We know ourselves. Finish koinonia, I'm waiting for you. Listen, remember what we spoke about, carnally, to be carnally minded. What does it take, God? Have you not seen people walk to others and say, look, Emeka, come. God said, I should give you 10 naira. Take, go and drink tea with it. You don't believe God can do that? Say, I'm not popular in koinonia. Who is talking of popularity? Didn't he say, God said, the all-seeing eye of God that can locate you and bless you. Don't always think people have to bless you with strings attached. Not everybody is a bad person. There are genuine people who can walk to you and say, God just instructed me. They will even allow you to explain it. Who are you, sir? I'm just obeying God. May that happen to you after this service. Please give it to us again. We're hurrying up now. Fruit of the Spirit. Let's find somewhere to tie it up. Peace. 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 Are you peaceful? Boisterous. Worried. Long suffering. Another word for patience. There are too many impatient people. Listen, you have to learn it. Don't say we are like that in our family. We are too impatient. You call somebody, uncle, will you send the money? He says, call me a little later. After 10 minutes, uncle, it's me again. I hope you are not offended. Of course he's offended. 10 minutes? There are some of us, it's like, you know how Parkinson's disease is. There is such tension. You advise yourself, create images and get tense by them. You need to have patience. Lord, I thank you. I know that the devil wants to confuse me and put pressure in my life now, but in the name of Jesus, I will wait for the promises of God. Nigerians are too impatient. too impatient. That's why we destroy ourselves overnight. The blessings God creates, we destroy it overnight because of impatience. Gentleness. I don't care what tribe you come from. I don't care who trained you. I don't care where you were. You have to change and trust the Holy Spirit to re-engineer you to become gentle. It is part of the ministry of the Holy Spirit. A believer should be known for gentleness. To be gentle doesn't mean to be a clown. Are we together now? You know what we call gra-gra? Hello? That's the best way I can. You know what we call gra-gra? You are into everything you want to. That kind of life, you will sap your energy. Profitless labor, the Bible calls it. The labor of the fool, he says, wearieth every one of them. Some of us are not gentle. They say we are sharing Zobo. Immediately you come, where are we? Before I scatter this place. You are learning a bad attitude. You go for weddings. They say everybody just walk, they are coming. You are impatient. First you are trying to be gentle. Later you say this thing, you know, won't get it. You push everybody around. You are not reflecting. Listen. You are not reflecting the character of one who the ministry of the Holy Spirit is at work in his life. This gra-gra life has destroyed people. Say from today. Prophesy. Say from today. I receive grace from God by his Spirit to be notably gentle. Say it, to be notably gentle. Once you find yourself fighting over everything, you are not gentle. Fighting over scholarship, fighting over withdrawing money, ATM, fighting over getting fuel, fighting over buying kerosene, fighting over the bathroom. Goodness, benevolence. The ease with which you supply joy and beauty to others is a measure of your goodness. It's a character. It's a dimension of God's glory. Goodness. A quality of benevolence. The ease with which you release things to bless others is a measure of your goodness. Giving is part of an expression of goodness. Some of us, you see my hand? Look at me. What is this? What did you say? I'm not getting what you're saying. I'm not sure I heard what you are saying, but anyway, I'm the one teaching. Just follow my hands. Are you seeing this? This is how many of us, though tongue talking, this is a reflection of our understanding about, please keep it there, media, about goodness. Someone can be dying, sir. Of course, you are not called to feed the whole world. You are not Jesus. But you should be able to make a difference. You can sit down with 100,000 and your roommates are crying for one cup of rice so that they can cook as a room, not even as individuals. And you just sit down and say, Kai, you know the way this country is. You come out quietly. Listen, don't laugh. I'm very serious. God is working on us. This is our year of triumph. You must change. You smuggle yourself quietly down to PZ. Enter Peter's. Eat quietly and close your mouth as if nothing happened. And return back. If nobody has told you, the Holy Spirit is telling you now, it's very bad. Now, it doesn't mean, please let me balance this. It doesn't mean you go around inconveniencing people because I said they should be good. Because there are people whose lives are a perpetual nuisance to everybody. You go to people's house, go around begging everybody for money, telling lies. I've had people use over 5-6 different phone numbers to call me as different people looking for money. You see that? Truthfully speaking, I'm saying it. Thank God I'm speaking and it's on air. People are following. So let's balance it. Being benevolent is not that people come and stand and say it's a right. Apostle say, anytime I cry, you should answer. No. Learn the principles. Get financial dominion. Get the wealthy place. Meet Ejimi for impartation. Find ways of exiting that realm of suffering. Don't inconvenience people. Please hear me. If you are here and you are used to going to people's homes and becoming a nuisance to parents, workers, and responsible people who are making a meaning out of their lives. You have to stop it. You have to stop it. Don't go to people's homes expecting they must give you money. You must go and fetch rice when you go to their house. They must give you yam. Who are you? No, you don't behave like that. Learn to release. Open your hands and you will never be poor. You close your hands, you cannot even receive. It is only when what is in your hands is given. Some of us are really stingy. You are stingy, you are greedy, and you are selfish. You have to change. Once it's not you consuming it, to hell with anybody. No. You can't be that desperate for things that you are inconsiderate about the feelings of others. Oh, I came to buy 10 bottles of water. And sir, I'm so thirsty. It's just one more. I'm sorry. Oh, God will help you. And you pack your 10 bottles and go. You are very, very heartless. You cannot even say, okay, let me keep one for you. I came before you. I came before you. Many people will hear what I'm saying and say he's just talking nonsense. Remember, I've taught you, when you hear people talking, these are the things that make your life excellent. Goodness. Let's finish up. Faith or faithfulness, really. The rendition there is faithfulness. The quality of consistency and stability. Faithfulness. It's a name that God is called. He's called faithful and true. 23, please. Meekness. Another word for this is humility. Another synonym is teachability. Two words combined. Meekness is a product of humility and teachability. When you bring humility and teachability, it produces meekness. The capacity to learn, the capacity to submit yourself to knowledge and information, regardless of what you already know. Many people are not meek. The Bible says that we receive with meekness the engrafted word. Temperance, another word is self-control. A better word is self-restraint. Look at me, let me teach you something. Not everything, haven't said, talked about giving. Not everything is acceptable. There are some things, collecting it is collecting your bet, throwing away your bet right. There are pastors, for instance, you don't have self-control. You step into people's homes. You know that this home, the highest salary here is 20,000, but you see them packaging 100,000 to give you. It's not like it's an instruction from God. You are happy. You get into a house, 3 bottles of wine, chicken, and the rest. Say, please, is there pepper? I always like pepper. You are not a responsible pastor. Don't act insensitive to people as though you are not aware. No. Say, myself. Behave. One more time, myself. Behave. There is a time to collect. There is a time to say thank you. There is a time to pray on the seed. Pray and sow it back. Preserve your honor. There is a time to know that this is not collectible. There is a time to restrain your mouth. Many of us have entered trouble. We are still trying to manage today because our mouths were careless. You opened your mouth and spoke over an information you were not sure of. Later you found out it was a lie. Now you are in trouble. Do you know you can earn a living just speaking correctly? Yeah. There are wrong things you utter with your mouth about people or to people that can cost you 5 years. Are we together now? School of Ministry yesterday, we were watching Fela Durotoye in one of we're on leadership, and then we're watching Fela Durotoye, and he said something. Not School of Ministry. I was actually watching him personally, and he said something. He said, will your life become a key for your children or a padlock? There are people, you mention them, they say, you know him, leave this office now. I was going to help you, but God over my dead body, leave this office. Even God man, they won't give you. There are others, they say, I would have driven certain people, but because of this, your mouth. If you cannot control your mouth to speak well, especially about people, if it is not good, keep quiet. Are we together? Yes. You say anything anyhow. And you see, let me tell you something about life. Come, darling, come. Two of you, come. Watch this. Do you know that I can hate this lady, and at the moment, me and her are fighting. Are we together? Now, me and Tosin are not close, but simply because two of us hate her, we can partner together. Listen, now, while I am enjoying the friendship with her to hurt this person, I reveal many secrets about me that should not be said. And then after the fight is now finished, one day two of them will now come and be friends against me. And then you say, I have a confession. That day, me an apostle, it's only God. This is the foolishness that many people have chained themselves. You chain your eyes, your hands, your leg. You kept yourself in one place. When you have a track record of sowing seeds of discord, when you have a track record of not being self-controlled, many of you revealed certain things and thieves came to rob your house. You just went around and said, you can't imagine. For the first time, I saw $10,000. And so one guy is drinking minerals close to the shop and listening. $10,000, my father brought it new from the bank. And the guy is listening. Say, in fact, let me tell you something. It's just that I'm humble. We live in so, and the person just calls his friend. In the night, they kill your father, take the money. Some of us, somebody likes you. Instead of you to keep quiet and pray, he has not even said anything. The whole world. And he just hears and says, no, I can't. I'm not ready for this. Scatter your breakthrough. Are you learning something now? Someone secretly called you and said, I know you have two carryovers, but I am the lecturer and I'm a fellow believer. I'm not talking of maybe sleeping with you to bribe. That's not what I'm talking about. Just the favor of God. And he says, oh, you come for Koinonia. I'm also a lecturer. Okay, because of you, you had 37. Let me see how I can upgrade it for you to 40. But I'm doing it just for you. You see, a wise person, you go and thank God. And the next thing, you go around saying, you know, this Koinonia, the lecturers, they are very nice. So what did you get in the other? Do you know this man did this? And the next thing, you hear rumors that something happened between two of you. And you are trying to argue, telling everybody nothing happened. A fool, even when he's silent, is considered wise. Please learn this lesson. Our time is gone. We are going to pray, but I want you to learn. Thank you. Thank you. You must know when to say what. You must know when to go where. You must know when to go where. Some of you have entered places that they threw you out and you will never enter there again except through favor. Because you did not understand self-control. Praise the Lord. Two people are walking and all of a sudden, another person comes, you know, to talk to maybe me. And all of a sudden you just come, what are you saying? Whereas that person is a very great man somewhere. You did not know how to respect your boundaries. There are some of you, you sit down, I'm teaching you practical things. You are sitting down in somebody's house and a senior executive comes somewhere. You don't need to be told to stand up there. It's not weakness. It's called self-control. Are we together? Your parents are discussing destiny issues. You just pass and say, uncle, I heard you, I was passing. No. I'm teaching you very simple things that can make your life adorable. You don't do that. There are times that somebody can pick a call in your presence. You know that this is too confidential. You can gently, diplomatically just throw somewhere and allow them have their privacy. They don't have the courage to tell you to leave, but you should have the brain to leave. They will respect you enough. Are you becoming wiser tonight? Self-control, temperance, self-control. You are angry. Your father spoke about something. Maybe your friends came and lied, and your father just called you, thou, just slapped you. You are an adult, but I will slap you. And then later, they discovered that you were innocent. And you sit down, you are boiling. Should I slap this man back? Should I revenge? I can't be a fool like this. Listen. That's when we know whether the Holy Spirit is Lord over your life. Because I'm rounding up with this. I've seen believers do foolish things. When a believer fights his fellow person, boxing people because of differences, truly the Holy Spirit is not at work in your life. Listen, I'm not a fool. People offend me all the time, you cannot imagine. But when you sit down and say, see, I know we are all Koinonia members, I'm going to show you that what a woman can do, a man can do better. You now wind your hand, punch the person. Unfortunately, that's what many men do to their wives. Beat the wives and then later say, why did you annoy me? You know that I have temper. You need deliverance. There is nobody who has temper that is a quiet issue. Don't say Elijah had temper. He was in the Old Testament. John the Baptist tried it. He died in the New Testament. There are things you do, you will not go scot-free. This issue of temper, stop it. When it's time for us to pray now, you are going to pray and say, Lord, I must respect my wife. You are in a relationship. 2 weeks into the relationship, you fought over 10 times. What kind of love are you people doing? Are we together? There are couples, as you are joining them by evening, wedding night, they're already fighting. Fighting over money, fighting over gifts, fighting over whose parents brought what. Some of us parents, please let me encourage us. Let's not sow seeds of discord in our children by planting hatred for others. You are in a compound of 10 people. You create a team. From house 4 to 7, you are the team. House 1 and 2, you are the ones fighting against. That thing will not profit both of you. Fire to fire ends both people in ashes. Say, in the name of Jesus, I receive grace to control myself. Self-control. Self-control. Self-restraint. A word spoken in due season. Knowing what to do. Knowing what not to do. Knowing how to not overstep your bounds. Somebody gives you access and says, look, enter a shopping mall and shop at my expense. You just clean your hands and say, today is it. Thank God, this is favor. This is how some of you have abused privileges. Somebody gave you his phone to call. You have 200 naira in your own phone, but you spent 1,000 in his own phone. That's not wisdom. Are we together? Self-control. How about wearing people's clothes? Today, the shirt you wear is not your own. Tomorrow, the trouser is not your own. Next tomorrow, I like your watch. Can I wear it? Stop it. Covetousness is part of lack of temperance. Please believe what I'm saying. I know some of you are offended. Stop it. That you see, if your eyes see it, something drives you, I must get it. No. You will die young if you do it that way. Oh, this lady, my level, wearing this kind of hair, wearing this kind of clothes, I must do it. You don't have self-control. Someone met me one time and said, Apostle, there is a kind of suit now. There is a trend that they are doing. I said, I don't know who they are. I wear what I want. I'm not anti-civilization, but nobody puts me under any pressure to say, okay, this is what somebody was telling me the other time. He said, now that suit is now pencil trouser and no socks. I said, what the heck? If I catch myself. I don't have a problem. Look. Go ahead, do your stuff. I don't have a problem. But if I catch myself, I didn't say if I catch us. If I catch myself. Finally, the last ministry of the Holy Spirit. Thank you, Daniel. Empowerment. The last ministry of the Holy Spirit. There are many more, but I broke them into these sections because they are relevant for us. Activation of spiritual senses, revelation and understanding, guidance and direction, renewal and transformation, and then empowerment. Isaiah 61 verse 1 to 4 talks of the ministry of the Holy Spirit to empower. Acts chapter 1 verse 8 talks about the ministry of the Holy Spirit to empower. Acts chapter 10 verse 38, sorry I'm hurrying up, talks of the ministry of the Holy Spirit to empower. The Holy Spirit is the custodian of the anointing. The Holy Spirit is the custodian of the anointing. What is empowerment? Causing God's ability to walk in and through you is called empowerment. Empowerment is causing God's ability to walk in and through you. Mary said in Luke chapter 1 verse 34, speaking with the angel, when the angel came and began to speak to her, oh, this and of glad tidings, you shall have a child and so on and so forth. She said, how shall these things be? How shall it be? And the angel said, this is how it will happen. The power of the highest will overshadow you. How will this year be a year of triumph for you? The power of the highest will overshadow you. How will all of a sudden, in 1 month, you step into a dimension that you have never stepped into? The power of the highest overshadow you. The Holy Spirit is still in the business of empowering people. Please listen. The gifts of the Spirit, the fullness of the Spirit, dimensions of the anointing, rivers of His power and His grace, it is still available for the end time church. There is darkness everywhere. There is need to forcefully advance the cause of the kingdom, and it will require empowerment. Everybody say empowerment. If you reject the Holy Spirit, you reject empowerment. You can have a bottle of anointing oil in your house, that's not empowerment. If you reject His ministry, He is the secret behind the empowerment in my life. He is the secret behind the empowerment in this ministry. I am happy. I am very, very proud of Him. He's done more things in and through my life that I can ever dream of. I remember years ago when the Lord was telling me, I will use you and you will be so mighty. Apparently, I knew He was going to do it, but I didn't realize the extent. Look what He's done in my life. Look what He's done in your life. Some of you, when you came here months, years ago, you were absolutely ordinary people. But look how He's transformed you. The Holy Spirit was given to us by God to help us. He's the helper. He's the comforter. He's the Spirit of truth. He's the guide. He's an advocate. He's a standby. He's a strengthener. He's a creator. He's a revealer. He's a preserver. The Holy Spirit. Rise up on your feet, please.
Oh God, You are my God, and I will ever praise You. Oh God, You are my God, and I will ever praise You. Oh God, You are my God, and I will ever praise You.
One more time.
Oh God, You are my God, and I will ever praise You. I will seek You in the morning, and I will learn to walk in Your ways. For step by step You lead me, and I will follow all of my ways.
For step by step,
for step by step You lead me, and I will follow You all of my days.
Sing it one more time.
Oh God, oh God, You are my God, and I will ever praise You. Oh God, You are
right now who, I told you that he has a twofold ministry. Listen carefully, our time is gone. Ministry number one is to unbelievers. There are people here, you have been in church for a very long time, but you have not embraced the Spirit of God as eternal life, Zoe, the life of God. And you are saying, man of God, tonight you introduced the Holy Spirit for me in a way and a dimension I never knew that I needed him for salvation. I'm tired of the way I've been living my life, and I make up my mind that I want to run to Jesus. Or you are here and at one point you have given your life to Christ, truthfully speaking, inside, outside, in any of the overflows online, and for some reason you discovered that things have gone haywire, your life has just scattered, and you are saying, man of God, if you will ask me to come out, I will rush to come out to receive Jesus Christ. We have just 2-3 minutes for you, so if you are outside, I want you to begin to rush to come in now in any of the overflows. I'm going to count 1 to 4. You are inside this building here and you know that you need Jesus. God bless you, darling. God bless you. God bless you, sir. Keep coming. Koinonia, a sacrifice of your clap as an offering. The Holy Spirit is already convicting men and women. The Holy Spirit is already convicting men. Are you coming? He said, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will convict you. Please clear the way for them. If you are coming, I want you to run, run, run. Please double up. If you are coming from outside, run, run, quickly, please. Quickly, 1, 2, 3. We're counting to 5. Don't be ashamed. Win that war of destiny. It's like calling you to receive an award. Don't let any friend keep you down. Make up your mind that tonight is my night for being spiritual. Do we still have people coming? Quickly make your way to the front. Hallelujah. I want to appreciate you, brothers and sisters, for making this noble decision. Listen, the Bible says, as many who will come to him, he will in no wise cast away. You are still coming, join them quickly. I'm about to lead them to pray. When men try to convict you, they condemn you, no matter how sincere they are. It takes only the Holy Spirit. He does not condone your state, but he changes you. You come as you are, but you don't remain as you are. His transforming power is able to change you. Lift your right hand and I want you to say after me, seriously and sincerely. You are not reciting a poem. This is supernatural. Say, Lord Jesus, I love you and I believe in you, that you are the Son of God. Tonight, I receive your life. I receive your Spirit. I declare that from tonight, my sins are forgiven. The anointing of the Holy Spirit is strong as I'm praying for you. I feel it. I feel that anointing. Every time I begin to feel it, I know that his power is strong. Say, tonight, I receive your life. I receive forgiveness. I receive cleansing. I declare that I am a child of God. I am saved. From today and forever, I am for Jesus. Amen. Keep your hands lifted. Father, I stretch my hands towards these gentlemen and ladies. I thank you for bringing them to the fold. They have responded to your call. Lord, I pray that tonight will be the beginning of great days in their lives. In the name of Jesus, I declare your sins forgiven. I declare that the power of sin, the flesh, Satan, is broken over your life. A new beginning starts for you from tonight. In the name of Jesus Christ. Amen and amen. Thank you and congratulations. Let's appreciate them very quickly. Let's appreciate them very quickly. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Next week, please, I don't want you to miss next week's meeting. It's going to be a very special empowerment meeting. We're going to be rounding up the series, Holy Spirit. I'll be teaching you on the ministry of the Holy Spirit. I'll be sharing with you very deep secrets, and then it will be a time of very strong, intense impartation. You're a pastor, you have a church, you're a business person, whatever it is. If you like, you can come with whatever documents that you have, maybe for your business. Please announce it to as many. It's a miracle service on its own. Please be part of it. And I want you to come with your heart expectant, and the Lord will do us good in Jesus' name. Praise the Lord. Lift your hands. I bless you in the name of Jesus. Let it be a weekend of encounters for you. That which you have learned, I supply grace for you to walk in its reality. The Lord bless you and honor you in Jesus' name.
We believe you have been blessed by this message. For additional information, you can visit us on Facebook on www.facebook.com/KoinoniaEternityNetworkInternational. Or follow us on Twitter, www.twitter.com/koinonia_ENI. You can also download our messages on www.forshared.com. Eternity Network International, duplicating the fullness of God's life on earth.